you know, we've heard others saying it, not the ethic.
The number of surahs, as generally accepted, is 140. That's what we accept. 140 surahs, is it? 30 paras, 140 surahs, 6,666 ayat, according to him. On the contrary, we say that so much of revelation has come down, which is not embodied in the present Quran, that if it were to be collected, its extent could be undoubtedly be 17,000 verses. This is Shia belief.
Yes, this is from.
And for this, for example, is like the saying of Jibreel to Prophet. This is what you want to see. Please.
Yeah, yeah, who's the author of this?
The author of this. He is a recognized Shia. It's from this book.
Right?
A Shia is Greek.
That's interesting.
World Organization for Islamic Services, Board of Writing, Translation and Publication, Tehran, Iraq. Revised and published by World Organization for Islamic Services, PO Box number 2245, Tehran, Iraq. Revised edition 1982.
After the revolution. Did you read out the passage from the book?
Page 77.
No, this one is page 77. I think it is the reproduction of the page.
What I want to just show you, what this author first. He was a venerable sheikh of the Shia and a pillar of Sharia, and the leading narrator of traditions and a true reporter of what he related from the truthful Imams. The preface. He was the author of one of the four books and is universally regarded amongst the Isna Ashariya as a great authority. Isna Ashariya. What page is it?
677.
This is the portion, yeah? And
he would assert that we say that it is greater in extent than this.
How do you read this one?
And he who asserts that we say it is greater in extent than this.
Liar.
You know the present tense. Oh, he's a liar.
On the contrary, we say that so much. Read right the
bottom. Let us read this. Look, that's a shift of who? Our belief is that the Quran, which Allah revealed in the Quran, is the same as the one between the two boards. And it is that which is in the hands of the people. And it's not greater in extent than that. The number of surahs generally accepted is 140. You know, and according to us,
and the morning surah,
Ad-Duha, the morning surah 93, and Alam Nashrah, the solace, or have we not expanded surah 94 together from one surah, and Alam Tara Kaifa, the elephant, surah 105, and Li'ilahi Quraysh. Quraysh or winter, surah 106, together forms one surah. And he who asserts that we say that it is greater in extent than this is a liar. And that which is related in tradition concerning the reward for reciting every surah of the Quran and the reward of him who completes the whole of the Quran and the permissibility of reciting two surahs in a rakah, unit of prayer, and the prohibition of reciting the Quran between the two surahs and in a rakah of the fard prayer, is a verification of what we said concerning the Quran, and that the extent of the Quran is no more than what is in the hands of the people. And similarly, what is related concerning the prohibition of reading the whole of the Quran in a single night, and that it is not permissible to complete the recitation of the Quran in less than 3 days, is also a verification of what we have said. On the contrary, we say that so much of revelation has come down which is not embodied in the Vedic, in the present Quran, that if it were to be collected, its extent would undoubtedly be 17,000 verses. And this, for example, is like saying, you know, like the saying of Jibreel to the Prophet, Allah says to thee, O Muhammad, act gently with my creatures in the same manner as I do. Or he is Jibreel saying, be careful of the bitter hatred. Now does one go on with this one to find the other?
Now see, this is other, the verses that they are saying are not this.
Yeah, you know, this is a problem that was raised, you know, about Khatam al-Quran. That, you know, you are, I don't know whether it's getting to the same, but you know that it would be such a strain on people that it was wrong. You know, they tried to read at the Kirk Street Mosque, Kari, yes. And then there was a lot of protest, and some ulama said that one shouldn't do that because, you know, you're subjecting the individual to unnecessary
stress.
You know, it's a, that one
so besides that,
I was just thinking about not trying to get
to the point. Agree that as far as the existing Quran that we accept,
they accept
you know,
listen to
this.
Usul al-Kafi, I have said to the people, do you know that the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, was the proof of Allah for his creations? For his creations, they have said, yes. I have said, when he, Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away, who was then the proof? They have said, the Quran. So I have looked at the Quran, and I found that it was used as a proof by the Murji's and the Qadiyans and the Zindis, who do not even believe in the Quran, but only use it to defeat the arguments of others in disputation. Thus I have come to know that the Quran cannot be regarded as a proof unless there is a custodian, such that whatever he says is true. So I asked the people, who is the custodian of the Quran? They replied, Ibn Masud knew it, Umar knew it, Huzaifa knew it. I then asked, all of it? They said, no. So I have not found anyone who says that he knows all of it except Ali, peace be upon him. If a problem arose between the people concerning the Quran, and one said, I do not know, and another said, I do not know, and another said, I do not know, this one, Ali, said, I do know. Thus I vow that Ali, peace be upon him, was the custodian of the Quran. Hence obedience to him was binding, and he was a proof that for mankind after the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. Whatever he had said concerning the Quran is certainly true. The Imam said, may Allah be merciful to you. That means Huzaifa is not a Hafiz, Umar is not a Hafiz, and who else is the question? Huzaifa, Umar, Ibn Masud. All these people are not Hafizes because they don't have the complete Quran. Ali said, he was a complete custodian of the Quran because he wrote the Quran. And he is the Imam. And he passed it on to the other Imams. I think now the final Imam is concerned.
There's a whole commentary by Muhammad Ali,
yes,
Maulana, on this, you know, the, you know, where he verifies the existence of the Quran. And it's quite an involved thing. I think, you know, one should read it. I read it many years ago. But I remember, you remember that commentary. You know, there's a I don't think they are making the point that it's not the
Holy
Quran.
This expression,
like in the one pamphlet that I was reading earlier, they would argue that, you know, what they're saying there is that every period must have its imam. But they go on in that text to say the imam is simply the leader. Now it is that person who will make it his absolute and complete duty to not only learn the Quran by heart and absorb it totally. So they normally, I mean, look at us generally. Would every Muslim become a Hafiz? Would every Muslim know every ayat of the Quran? Where, to whom do we go?
Have they any Hafizes within them? But
in all autobiographies written about Al-Abbas Tabatabai, about Muntazari, about Ayatollah Khomeini himself, there is not one word written that, for example, Ayatollah Khomeini is a Hafiz, or Ayatollah Muntazari is a Hafiz, or Ayatollah Hujjatul Islam Khomeini is a Hafiz, or any one of them. Any one of these, before a book you get a preface and you get all these people commenting on the books, not one of them writes that this person was a Hafiz.
But you know, with respect, just tell me one thing, day and night we were hearing
you can know two ayahs,
they have international Qiraat competitions and all that.
Now
to them it becomes a great thing to know it all.
They have Hafizes.
I'm very quiet
because this was the allegation in the last.
I don't want to look for a point for them, Muhammad.
I'm trying to, this Quran thing, Maulana Desai, what's his name, Majlis, you know, mentioned this, and this was very funny. They have got, perhaps they don't think necessary. It's like the, you know, Haji. You see, the Malays would insist calling Haji or Hajiani. With us, it's not that. So, you know, I mean, you know, on the grade two, if you go to, have you been to Cape Town, you know, they would say Haji so and so. With us, it's not mentioned. Sometimes someone does, you know, Haji so and so. You know, just, you know, Muhammad Musa. You know.
It is strange that even the matter of collecting the verses of the Holy Quran, Ali was not consulted, and his name was not mentioned among those who participated in this task. Although it was known by everyone that he had collected the text of the Holy Quran after the death of Prophet, it has been recounted in many traditions that after receiving an allegiance from the community, Abu Bakr sent someone to Ali and asked him for his allegiance. Ali said, "I have promised not to leave my house except for the daily prayer until I complete the Quran." And it has been mentioned that Ali gave his allegiance to Abu Bakr after 6 months. This itself is proof that Ali had finished compiling the Quran. Likewise, it has been recounted that after compiling the Quran, he placed the pages of the Holy Quran on a camel and showed it to the people. It is also recounted that the Battle of Yamama, after which the Quran was compiled, occurred during the second year of the Caliphate of Abu Bakr. These facts have been mentioned in most works of history and hadith which deal with the account of compilation of Quran. That means the Quran which Ali compiled is a different Quran.
I think we'll get all of that commentary.
It is strange that even the matter of collecting the verse of the Holy Quran, Ali was not consulted,
yeah,
and his name was not mentioned among those who participated in the task.
Who has given the task of compiling the Quran? Because after that, all texts were destroyed.
All texts by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was burnt. But Ali, he showed it to the people. And it was so much, 70,000 verses, that can be put on the camera.
But who was given the original task of compiling the Quran?
A selection of Sahabis.
Which they say that was false, and Ali is correct.
Ali, and I've read you that portion.
This is what they mean, Kali.
Ali compiled that Quran, that book which has got everything from now to the Day of Judgment. I read you the text.
Telling this
Quran doesn't mean that they necessarily believe it. For example, they don't.
They only comp- Now,
they don't tell you the belief of, they don't tell you externally that we believe in Taqiyya.
You see, if, they, if there's another Quran, then they would, you see, catching this was a gift from them. I've got one which is bought, and which is the Quran which we accept. Now, if they have a Quran, where is it?
That is what I try to say.
That Quran, and he will only bring it down when the 12th Imam comes down. At the moment, he's denied it.
Yeah, but you see, okay, for example,
I mean, it doesn't make sense for them to block their own people.
Yeah. What do you mean? It's all in there.
It's
you know, I think one has to go through this more carefully.
No.
This aspect, you know. I think one, I like to read the text too, but I think one can, you know, must be very carefully because, you know, we can put different interpretations. I think, you know, we must
see, that's why I still would like to you to point out in this.
You see, the Imam thing, we don't have to worry. They say it here.
What
you
know, they said their Quran, that on is on there. Not in the Quran series that we use.
Yes.
Okay. For example, Mawlana Desai has narrated that the Shia believe of the Quran. Okay. As it has been printed and distributed widely, up to date, not a reputation has come.
Oh, you know, I must tell you, in certain circles, he's just looked upon as a bit of a fringe, you know. He's the one who say something and reflects it next day.
Okay,
you know,
whatever
it is. Now he's, you know, the first publications of the his paper, you know, lauded the Khomeini thing. You know about that? You've seen that.
Yes.
Now you see, yes. So you know, one must take him with a bit of this. You know, he's got problems. You might know more, but I mean, you know, all sorts of things. You know, last week he's got something about Coca-Cola. And everyone's bringing the alims also doing it.
I think you must elaborate on the point of Taqiyya.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, from the point of view of peace, followed both are equal. And from the point of view of utility, the development of character, there can be no question the status of speaking party, Ahl al-Bayt, be the higher than the silent one, the Quran.
Can you explain that, Musa?
The status of the Quran.
Yeah.
The status of the Quran, they say, is the. Is lower than the Arabic.
Read that again.
Otherwise, from the point of view of being followed, both are equal. And from the point of view of utility, the development of character, there can be no question in the status of the speaking party, the Ahl al-Bayt, be the higher than the silent one.
Just explain to me, I'm ignorant of the Bayt.
The people, the household of the Bayt Karim Salah. Higher in status, the Quran. That is
the silent one, they mean the Quran.
Yeah. No, they wrote it. I am not speaking.
Oh.
No, sorry, was a little problem. Just read that to me at the end of the day. They don't say higher.
Be the higher than the silent one. Higher. Moreover, the Prophet had never received instructions nor learned how to read and write. He had spent two-thirds of his life before becoming a Prophet amongst a people who possessed no learning and had no taste of civilization. This is another discussion.
That's true. Well, at the age of 40, he only... So, I suppose he died at 63, so that's what they mean, two-thirds of his life, you see. The last 23 years, so that's what they mean.
You have to side with the Shias. Hazrat Ali said, those who refuse to side with my party, that is Shia and Ali, they have forsaken religion and were also of no use to infidelity. But which you are worse than that. Hazrat Ali, they say Hazrat Ali says that he has been deprived of his right.
Yeah.
And they say that Hazrat Ali himself is saying it. Servant number 6. In Nasir Balaga. By Allah, I have been continually deprived of my right from the day the Prophet died till today.
That's a historical fact. He was unhappy.
Historical fact among the Shia.
No. You see, the fact that he wasn't made the Caliph, You see, he was a son-in-law, married to, you know, Bibi Fatima.
Okay,
and when they didn't make him, he must have been a human being. I mean,
these people are so pious and so great. The question did not arise that they would have any, you know,
you must understand that there was a political conflict. You know, and he must have been a bit upset. I mean, you know, he wanted to aspire to become the Khalif. He must have.
Why for the Quran? Because that's important. You see, I told you, Hazrat Ali got the Quran. Hazrat Ali got the Quran. Because as I said, as I quoted from there, that he was busy. He himself says, I cannot take allegiance to Abu Bakr because I'm busy. Only make my namaz and I compile the Quran.
Yeah.
Okay? And for 6 months he did that. And I said that this is a different Quran that Hazrat Ali is talking about, and this is a different Quran. That's your balagha.
You know, there's an instance of our Hazrat having become upset. You know, I can't go to this, but I think he was asked by some woman, and the male appeared, and then he ignored this woman. And you know, there's these things, and then he became very upset. You know, these things, because he didn't. You understand? So they were human beings in a sense. You know, I mean, that they would have upset themselves if they didn't. Now, I don't know about this one, but
not for personal reason, Doctor.
No, not personal reason. He must have, I don't know. No, the fact that he became
the one you are referring to is the Prophet was present, and a blind person came to the Prophet, and the Prophet left the blind person, and he attended to the leaders who were present there.
Yeah,
so that was his intention, so I can possibly inspire them. And Allah Ta'ala revealed in the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala
Now you see, that's a human failing, in a sense.
No,
we have objection to the fact that they say that the Imams are totally, you know,
can't make a mistake.
You see, because I mean, our Prophet did not make a mistake, but there was some there was a correction needed. You know, there was a early.
And when this thing, I'm quoting from Dajjal Balagha, when this thing, arbitration, was done, I found that you agree to it. By Allah, if I had refused it, it would not have been obligatory on me, nor would Allah have laid its sin on me. And by Allah, not that I have accepted it. I alone am the rightful person who should be followed. For certainly the Quran is with me. I never forsake it since I adopted its company. Quran is with Ali.
There's no suggestion that the different texts from the one compiled by Hazrat Abu Bakr, you see?
Yes, there is a suggestion, it's a clear statement.
I was not consulted
in the compilation of the Quran.
But it doesn't mean that, on its own, whether the compilation was, because this was revelations, and they were put together. You understand?
Yes.
I think it's a philosophical problem one can argue.
I have got the Quran.
I've got the Quran.
Ali got the Quran. He compiles it in 6 months. He says he got it. And he shows the people. He loads it on a camel.
Where does he get the compile? You see,
he loads it on a camel, which I've read to you. Yeah. And to load it on a camel, it has to be quite a bit.
Yeah, but you know, they had slaves, so I don't
know. Compiling the Quran, he placed the pages of the holy book on a camel and showed it to the people. And later he said that he drove this camel away also. Right? And then he also says that I have not been consulted in the compilation. It is strange that even the matter of collecting the verses of the holy Quran, Ali was not consulted.
Yeah, but that's true. He wasn't consulted.
So he was not consulted. That his text is different, he's got it. And as their belief goes, that it has been passed on. And then now the Hadith Imam has got it, and he'll come down.
Now, you see, that there's also create a problem that they are, if it's passed on, they are using the Quran, which is compiled by those who they say are not to be followed. You see, and they are using it. So that
they are exactly correct. To sell it to public.
There's a discrepancy somewhere, you see.
For example, Borodesa came out and showed those verses of the Quran which are missing, not one Shia contested it.
Yeah, I don't know if there are any Shias here.
Yeah. Not one. I like it. If I have to say you, for example, doctor, you're not a doctor. and I publish in the papers, and I print 50,000, I distribute it.
You know, I don't publish, I don't, let me tell you how I get these things. I don't subscribe to it, yet it comes to me, you know. It's not read widely.
Right, okay. I'm sure. Let's but just say that. Right? So now, why do they refute it? You see, you people are talking nonsense.
Why isn't that?
That's what we will come to.
Yeah. Could you show the text when it's clear cut?
This is what.
For example, they are sick. These things are not.
No. I think we must see that properly.
It means you have to show up another book, and even it means we have to come another time here.
In fact, that would be
for you.
Yes, you see.
No. For example, these ayahs, you say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jibreel, this. These are the ayahs we are talking about, which they say we supposed to have been included in the text.
Can you take the Quran and show?
Yes.
Where is it? One word. You know, the Quran is being used.
I'd like to clarify one thing. You see, their belief is that the original Quran is not present, right? Like, you know, hearing first. And the 12th Imam has got the original Quran. But in the interim period, we are going to use this Quran, which the Sunnis also accept. The Quran is just, which is for the Sunnis. So the very same Quran which me and you read daily, that is the Quran which they are reading presently, right? But the belief is that the original Quran is the 12th Imam. Now the question arises, yes,
right,
the more complete. Now the question arises that can we accept that belief or not? Now the answer is that if we've got proof, then we can accept it. If we've got no proof,
like to
reject that one.
No, that's
exactly.
Right.
Okay.
But would you like to do it?
So that one we reject, right?
Exactly.
So now, the point is then we don't say that, you know, that the Quran Sharif that they are using at the moment is not the authentic.
No. That nobody has said to it. Understand that ambassador?
Didn't we see that one ayah in
that is what they have written.
Now tell me something. No. What would be wrong if we use this Quran?
This one here?
Yeah.
If it's the same as our Quran, there's nothing wrong.
Right. But are we sure it is the same?
That's it. We have to go over it word to word and let it
know. No. It's not a question of us having to. Is it?
No, you don't know. We haven't gone word for word.
The
bone of contention is not the present Quran.
Alright, you see, that is what I want to clear with Muhammad.
The bone of contention is not the present Quran, whether printed by the Iranian government or by the non Iranian
government. Or anyone.
The bone of contention is
that a Muslim can use this Quran.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. The bone of contention is what they believe.
That this is not the complete Quran.
Now we have to prove that.
We
can only accept it once
the complete Quran is in the custody
of
the Imam who is to make the appearance.
Now we ask Mufti Afzal that he must prove us that.
Exactly.
And there is a belief.
And you've got to the point,
And you know that is the belief that
Islam exactly.
That is what we must get to, you see. Yeah, I think.
Do you see, Muhammad, there's a difference here? Huh?
Yeah, no. It's Muhammad on the third.
That is what you like, you know, because then we see this problem there.
But you see why that is important? That we can innocently bring the Quran Sharif from there and give it to Muslims to use it.
That's another point.
They have a belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be just.
Has to be?
Just.
Can you elaborate on that, sir?
God cannot act in an unjust manner because it is His nature to be just.
Is there any problem?
He doesn't have to give you, you don't have to give you
anything. This is a problem at a benefit, at a level which are
Dr. Mike,
that is a sense and a good and a beautiful call. I mean,
No, this can't be. Can I elaborate on this? Give me a few minutes on this.
Yeah, yeah.
See, one is we say God is just.
Right.
And one is we say God is God cannot be unjust. Understand? There is no doubt our belief and every person believes in God is just. Right? But the question arises that if God wants to be unjust, which he will never do, will he do that?
No, the very sentence that you use now,
it's something very, very delicate. Right. And many people
I appreciate what you say.
You see, God, right. We believe. Give me a hearing. I'll tell you for a minute. One, we say that Allah Ta'ala has got power to do everything and anything.
Right.
Allah Ta'ala has got power to do good and to do bad. And Allah Ta'ala has got power to do justice and injustice. The power is there. Right? The power is there. But never ever was Almighty Allah Ta'ala ever be unjust to anybody. Never ever was Allah Ta'ala be unjust to anybody. But he has got
the capacity.
But he'll never exercise according to that capacity.
But then we can come back to the original one.
Yes.
That the Almighty will never be unjust.
Exactly. That's the story. The story is complete now.
Right.
So Allah Ta'ala will never be unjust, but he has got the capacity.
Yeah, but you see, but this is a deep philosophical.
Yeah, but
look, this is one dispute over this. This is not for the ordinary layman. Each one of these is a possibility for Allah. And each one of these entails a deficiency in him. For he is absolute perfection. Therefore, we must say that he is glorified from oppression and from greed, what is evil. He does not know anything over which he has no power. Such are the attributes of his essence, which are everlasting. Allah has power to know and has no power not to know. He has power to possess and has no power not to possess.
You see, that is contentious. Right? He has no power not to know.
We have taken the power away from Allah Ta'ala.
But then you will also again come back to the point.
Yes. That he knows.
That he's all knowing.
He's all knowing, exactly. Exactly.
You see that? So I mean that one.
This is not for the ordinary layman. Not at all.
I see, it is for us, but what it requires, deep thinking. One has to reflect over it. And I won't simply say that people have got it wrong.
And Babu is one who hears the angel's voice.
You see that Imam thing, I think it is pretty clear that it should offend some of our deepest beliefs.
I would say it is completely contradictory to our beliefs.
No, that's why I say it should offend our beliefs deeply.
Kasim, I have one simple question, regarding this imamate question. One is, we just said that it contradicts our beliefs. But the extent of contradiction, let's ask ourselves a question. A Muslim, a good Muslim, a good character, good actions, righteous, upright, everything, he believes in Allah, he believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he believes in the heavenly books, in the Quran, original Quran, everything perfect. But only one belief of his is contentious. And that is, he believes that the prophethood has not as yet ended. Where does that take him?
Takes him nowhere.
Exactly. So, can such a person unite with a person who has just upright belief?
But you see, what has been sort of worrying me is, if you remember that man from India, the lawyer,
Pakistan,
right? And then Riza. When I asked them there, he gave us a long, elaborate answer, but the gist of the answer was
Since you go to India and all that, you'll find people will go, right, to the tombs of humans, people who make a deeply pious life and all that. Now, it says, oh, you know, they come here to give thanks to the Almighty for the existence of an Imam like that, who, as far as they're concerned, simply strengthened their belief in the Almighty and in Islam and in the Quran, who assisted them. Now, you see, can we deny that most of us do not have enough knowledge? Can we deny that the learned ones amongst us do help us to strengthen our understanding and in the process our faith and our belief, isn't it? Right? That's why we say that throughout the history of Islam there has been men who have done that for the Muslim communities, right? Amongst whom they live. Now you see what I can't understand, that this is a simple explanation that, you know, that the ordinary man that say this, the scholarly Shiite will, you know, will give you.
But Kassim,
that is
a
contradiction. You see, you know, the thing that we read here.
Kassim, let me make one thing very, very clear, and extremely clear at this point, regarding many, many other issues too. These beliefs are the beliefs of the thoroughbred Shias, and those Shias who have studied religion. We can never, ever on earth say that these are the beliefs of the ordinary men on the street. For that matter, let's take we South African Muslim. How much do we know regarding Deen? And somebody might attribute something regarding to us which we never believed in. So this is the belief of the leaders and the leaders of Shiism and the religious leaders.
You see,
understand, Kasim?
I was making a point to you. See, like the thing that really revolted me is, you know, like. The Istima, right? They had this one person. What is his name?
Ibrahim Jumba. Who made the Flying Khutba?
I mean, who says,
Jumba, why
who says, right?
Before Khutba,
that if we live in any country, the existing authority must be accepted. Right? The existing government must be accepted. Even if it is unjust, and we must make sabr. Now, you know. Now, first of all, look, now here I have no doubt in my mind that, right, in spite of not being as, you know, deeply learned, but as an ordinary person, I mean, it can never be acceptable.
You see,
now, after 20 years, some people will say, you see, that there was a Sunni who said that. Look, as far as I'm concerned, that thought is a sinful notion. And there is no doubt in my mind. 20 years, somebody will say, you see, these Sunnis, you know, have, you know, beliefs like that. Now, should we expect people in, you know, 20 years say that that was Sunni belief? I don't know if you see the point.
I get your point, Kasim, but there's no doubt about it.
You see, Kasim,
you see the point.
These are the unanimous beliefs of the Shia, okay? Kasim, without the shadow of doubt,
this is a speech,
not only after the revolution.
I get the impression, I must be honest, yes. I get the impression that this is...
That was an individual case, eh?
Yeah.
No, Murtidab can prove us back, you know, 1,000 years back, if you've got the literature. And the very same thing...
Like on the Imam thing, I find it very convincing. Right. There's no doubt about it.
So, the belief of Raja'a. Did I tell you about this belief that they...
The reincarnation.
We created all of us again. That then we could be punished. Whatever is going to take place, you know, trial balance.
Trial balancing will be a resurrection.
Yeah.
Before the balance sheet.
Yeah. They say about Raja, wherefore, according to this premise, it is necessary to believe that resurrection Raja will take place in this community as well. Our opponents, the Sunnis, have related that when the Mahdi, on whom be peace, will appear, Jesus, son of Mary, on whom be peace.
Musa, stop, please. Our opponent.
Yeah.
On
whom be
and
peace.
Then they say that we are united. They claim we are united verbally, but in their writing, they write our opponents, the Sunnis.
Yeah. Now the descent of on whom be peace will descend upon the earth and pray behind the Mahdi. Now the descent of Jesus to the earth is this return to the world after death. They say that this does not refer to Raja. What we mean by Raja is we will have this second session. And what I want to read to you is a Taqiyya.
Yeah, that's the thing you have to explain to your author.
No, Muhammad has explained in the class.
I can just give it to you in a haphazard way.
The belief concerning Taqiyya says the Shaykh, may the mercy of Allah be on him, our belief concerning Taqiyya is that it is obligatory. And he who forsakes this is in the same position as he forsakes prayer.
Right.
Now, until the Imam at Qayyim appears, Taqiyya is obligatory.
Right.
And it's not permissible to dispense
it. Right.
What is Taqiyya?
He said, it means he who adheres most scrupulously to the practice of Taqiyya. He must adhere to the sunnah.
Right. Now, what is it?
Mix with the people, enemies outwardly, and oppose them eternally, so long as the Imaratun, that the Imam, is a matter of opinion. And he also said, verily, diplomacy with a true believer is a form of shirk, and with a hypocrite in his house, it is worship. And he said, he prays with a hypocrite standing in the first row, it is as though he is praying with the Prophet in the first row.
Could you repeat that, please?
The concept of infiltration.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's to us.
Yeah.
You know, we are the opponent.
This is the technique of war and.
No, but they regard us as the opening.
I hear a man abusing me in the mosque. I hide myself behind a pillar so that he may not see me. And he, Imam Jafar, said, mix with the people, enemies outwardly, but oppose them inwardly. As long as the Imam is a matter of opinion. And he also said, verily, diplomacy with a true believer is a form of shirk. But with a hypocrite, in his own house, it is worship. And he said, he who prays with their hypocrite standing in the first row is as though he has prayed with the Prophet in the first row. And he who also said, visit their sick and attend their funerals and pray in their mosque. And he said, you should become an opponent for us, and not an ornament for us, and not a disgrace. And he said, may Allah have mercy on a person who inculcates friendship towards us amongst men and does not provoke ill will amongst them.
In other words, the page before that, they regard the Sunni as opponent.
Yes.
Exactly. And then they give directives to their own people.
Yeah, suggesting that it applies to us also.
Exactly. Yeah. And the next page they say, Kathimban, that outwardly mingle with them, but outwardly mingle with them, internally,
undermine.
And then exactly what's happening today. I mean, we go there, they tell us that no, there's no difference between us and them.
You can put that in interpretation.
Exactly, remember. The imperialists have sort of disunited us, and it's just a difference, like the difference of Hanafi and Shafi.
Khomeini also says that. By the way, he also says that.
Who says that?
Khomeini.
May I make one suggestion, please? It's already about 20 to 11, and we only did 2
hours. I'm going to read some Bhutashiks over there.
And I would like you to read a few pages of that particular book. It doesn't matter. I would like you to know what it was.
No, this is that one that the Westerners took out. This is soon after the revolution, man. This was really special. No, this one you can't take seriously. This was brought out by the imperialists, man, really to discredit the man. And the New Statesman at that time had a long article, like ridiculing the man. Now, you know, I mean, look, when all is said and done, then when some
way of people are just dynasty. They control
that it. One you can't take seriously.
Do you think, yes, I think we have.
By the way, regard Nazrul Balagha as a second to the Quran. Truly, among them is the greatest religious literature after the Quran, Nazrul Balagha and the other prayers of Imams.
Who is saying this?
The faith of Shias, of Shia Islam. This is Alamatabata Masjid.
In Abu recently.
He is one of the
big ones.
Yes, I brought some words of
Raja is a necessary belief according to the household of the Prophet, and this has been narrated by many translators. Oh Ziyad, what have you to say if we give certain verdicts to any of our followers out of Taqiyya? Expediency, that is, guarding one's life and honor through concealment of the true belief. You understand? To give a verdict, externally something else. But internally we are hiding our belief, true belief. I, Ziyad, replied, may my life be sacrificed for you. You know far better, hearing this, the Imam explained, if a person accepts such a verdict as given under Taqiyya and acts upon it, the highest divine reward will be bestowed upon him. Another tradition says, if a person practices the same, he will be highly rewarded. If he abandons the verdict by Allah, he will be sinful to Allah. Sinful if he does not. People don't receive. People don't receive anything until and unless they ask for it, understand it, and recognize their Imam, guides. And it is expedient for the people to listen, accept, and obey their Imam. Words, though they have to hide their faith to people under the pressure of caring. If you are oppressed, then you must hide your faith.
Say
it again.
People don't receive anything until and unless they ask for it, understand it, and recognize their Imam's guides. And it is expedient for the people to listen, accept, and obey their Imam's words, though they have to hide their faith to the people under the pressure of tyranny against them. Taqiyya is my deed. It is related from Imam Sadiq in an authenticated tradition. Taqiyya is my deed and the deed of my forefathers. Whosoever has no taqiyya has no deed. Everyone, when he feels that there is a danger to himself or his property through the preachings of his beliefs or through the practices of his beliefs in public, should practice taqiyya. So the appearance of Judaism and Christianity is not a disgrace in Islam, even if, as the writer claims, Raja is one of the beliefs of the Jews. Anyway, Raja is not one of the fundamentals of Islam. Belief in which is compulsory. But our belief stems from the authenticated tradition of the household of prophets, who we know is infallible. For it is one of the unseen things which they relate, and there is nothing which suggests that it cannot take place. That's Raja. Irrespective of whether the Jews also believe in Raja.
Yeah.
So we should also believe in it. And Taqiyya. Firstly, we follow our Imams and are guided by their guidance. And they have ordered us to practice Taqiyya when it is necessary. And it is to them an internal part of Islam. As we saw from the saying of Imam Sadiq, whosoever has no taqiyya has no deen.
Is that not a fundamental point?
Taqiyya is essentially deceiving the enemy.
Deceiving anybody.
Deceiving anybody that's not a Shia.
That means if you ask a Shia, then do you believe in this?
Yes. Any non-Shia,
for many things,
you can deceive.
In certain cases, deception is necessary for the maintenance of Islam and of religion in general. Without it, faith cannot survive.
I don't think so.
The
no, we don't accept it. That it's
Buddha, temporary marriage. Temporary marriage. By Khomeini, right?
No, please, not for one long moment would we suggest that he's right.
A non-permanent contract is one where the duration of the husband-wife relationship is known.
For example, for instance, a woman is married for a period of 1 hour, or 1 day, or 1 month,
yeah,
or 1 year, or longer. A woman who is contracted for this period is called Muta or Sira.
In other words, Khomeini is explaining the legality of Muta and Sira. In other words, prostitution.
Temporary. You're legalizing it.
You're
legalizing
the terminology.
So in fact, we can get around adultery.
Yeah, adultery, prostitution.
Another place, same
probably. So we close down, you know,
woman,
we close down the prostitute then, but open the
yeah.
A woman may legally belong to a man in one of two ways, by continuing married or temporary marriage. In the former, the duration of the marriage need not be specified. In the latter, it may be stipulated, for example, that it's for a period of an hour, a day,
really?
A month, a year or more. Same thing what he says, yes.
This thing we have after, you know, when you divorce her, and then she marries her. She marries her.
Halal.
Then, because that's another way of legalizing our. But I said, you know, halal.
Yeah.
She marries another man.
Yeah.
You know, consummates that marriage. Divorce can come back to
but
you.
That's completely different. Right?
Yeah, but
first of all, that's regarding then the proxology has occurred. Right? Mm-hmm. And secondly, if a person, you know, was out pre planning the entire thing, does it? Then
it's judged.
It's permissible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to pre plan the whole thing and to arrange it, it's cursed. Both of them are cursed.
Yeah.
Mm. That's completely different from what
I said. That's just one way of getting around it. Someone getting around by saying that you're married.
By saying that you can't get married for 1 hour.
Temporary marriage, even through only one of
now that comes from which book?
This is the right
what?
Muslim woman.
Yeah. Right? Al Mahjuba.
Now tell me Al Mahjuba about it.
It's from a journal.
Yeah. Al Mahjuba. Is it on your
yeah. Al
Mahjuba.
And then after revolution, definitely.
Here, what he says, Imam accepts from Imam Khomeini's message on the occasion of the first woman's day.
Just 1 minute back. How lovely they portray the woman. They make their woman wear scarves.
The point you're going to make.
And they reduce them to that as kettle. Worse than kettle. In our country, the West, they are not bluffing, they are walking naked.
We investigated this thing about marriage. We went to a wedding ceremony.
Can you see the comparison? These people making the outside garden beautiful, inside they make them like cattle.
You know,
at least the West is better.
About, you know, where they were.
Although they're walking naked.
It's permissible to take 4 wives sunnah, you know? And they've got a law which says that at the marriage, the woman can enter into a contract to say that, you know, if he does remarry, then, you know, she. You know that their marriage is cancelled.
Yeah.
You know that the women can go into apparently the legal after the revolution, they've introduced that as the legal system. You see, so that the woman has some protection from, you know, husband having 4 wives.
But the woman has protection in Islam. If it's an Islamic country, don't say a woman has protection.
No, you can marry. I mean, you know, if you
no, no, you can marry
yeah.
four. But what I mean to say in Islam,
the
woman has protection.
Non-permanent marriage.
Yeah.
The divine law in non-permanent marriage from the treatise of Ayatollah Uthman Khomeini.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
it's
yeah,
that's the same what I'm quoting.
Yeah. They give all the, you know, the maslahs, the masayas. Yeah.
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 See, so in actual fact, you can. I mean,
see,
this can lead to massive abuse.
We respect Hazrat Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala, lot of the meetings. But in no way she's an angel. We mean the angel in the real sense. There's no way that she's a human incarnation. No way that thing.
Mm-hmm.
See what he says. She was a spiritual woman, an angelic woman, a human being in totality of its meaning. All of humanity are copies of her. All of the truths are of her womanhood. All of the truths of humanity were contained in her. She was an angelic creature who had appeared in human form. he was a divine, angelic creature, took on the form of a woman. In the days to come, such a woman will be born, a woman who contains all the desires of saints within her. A place, a woman who, if she were a man, would be in the place of Prophet Muhammad. Is this exaggeration? Who praise you?
Yeah.
Of same thing, Imam Khomeini mentioned the occasion of Women's Day of 1980. A woman, you talk about Hazrat Fatima, a woman whose virtues were equal to those of the infinite virtues of the most noble Prophet and the Imams. A woman about whom everyone, no matter what view he has something to say and still has not been able to praise her enough. So that's her virtues. Her virtues are equal to the Prophet and the Imams. Then she says, I offer my greetings to the people of Iran and in particular the most respected woman on this blessed birthday of a pure lady, Fatima Zahra, which is the greatest of days to be chosen as Women's Day. Then he goes on to say, I told you what how he regarded Fatima in comparison to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as an angel, etc. Now he says about all women. A woman should have such a station. Women in our age, at least in Iran, thanks be to God, are similar to her. In which way? About Ayatollah Khomeini, they say, his policy is the policy as dictated by God. His policy is the policy as dictated by God.
Now, what does that mean, Kat? What does it
mean? No, you can interpret that one a little simply and simply say, say that if it, look, like, you know, Ayatollah Khomeini says that the constitution of his country is the Quran, you know, the final analysis. And that is the dictate of the Almighty. It can be interpreted as simply as all that. Now, how do you interpret that?
How do I suppose that? You see, if you are dictated by someone, if I have to dictate you, then I have to, I'm just spelling a dictation. I have to be supervising you completely, totally, all the time, do this.
Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By revelation. So only now I have contact from on high, so I'll be following what you think. I mean, over here is not but he shows. The basic of, because the Imams are the stages of. Ali,
yeah, well, that one I think it can be argued a little.
Ali, where.
You know what we say.
Ali, some persons in the army were bribed by Bawiya. Ali is absent today only physically. His soul, even to this day, is the greatest spiritual resort for everyone who seeks the help of God through his medium. It is believed that Imam Khomeini is one of his representatives of the band. See their magazine. See, this is not a very good thing to say by any scholar. What does the scholar say? Talqadi says, when I came out on prison that night, I saw for myself that I had read and heard about the rise of the people. I felt in that moment that I was facing another kind of people, a people who had risen up and cast away their slumber and had set out for their goals. From the origin of Allah to the goal of La ilaha illallah, there is no God but God, and to follow Ruhullah.
If they mention anywhere Muhammad Rasulullah,
Ruhullah, Ayatullah, Ruhullah, because that's his name.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when a martyr is supposed to die, then of his blood, you know, you expect the names of Allah to come out. Look, you look at the pious history of our saints. then when they were even martyred, then the from their blood you get some stories where the words of Allah, Allah will come. This person says, finding him inflexible, Sabak even threatened him with death. But he said, I swear to God, if you kill me, in every drop of my blood, you will see the holy name of Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm. This could be also interpreted as a response to those, you know, they were torturing him because of his allegiance to, you know, to a certain thing.
Yeah,
so that one could
yeah,
be
even when they torture you, and Hazrat Bilal was yes. tortured even on the sand. You see, by the only thing he was saying was Ahad, Ahad,
yeah.
one
but
Allah,
said,
one
yeah,
Allah. Even in times of torture.
Yeah.
You see,
but that is because of his belief in
your Allah comes first and then comes Rasulullah.
No, no, but this moment, there are lots of explanations
yeah.
one can. You see, you must look into the context in which
the leadership of Imam Khomeini has not only been accepted by us, but by the whole world. To oppose this leadership and him is to oppose Islam.
That's, you know, I mean, it's a far-fetched thing. You know, he's not accepted by the whole world.
See, yeah. This is what I'm telling about the starting point. People are of three types: the learned scholars, the learners, and the rubbish. We, the worthy progeny of Prophet, are the learned scholars. Our disciples and followers are the learners, and the rest are rubbish. Usul Kafi.
When was that printed?
That's all later. That is
the
copy
of the I'll send it to you.
Al Kafi. La Abu Talib, what do you believe about him? Was he a Muslim?
The uncle of the Prophet.
Yeah. No, no. That the father of Ali wasn't
never was a Muslim.
Because, you know, the story is that Hazrat Ali saw our Prophet making namaz and then accepted the. So he wasn't a Muslim also. You know that. You know, he accepted, he was adopted. Yeah, you know, their father left children, and I think he was adopted by from Mod,
yeah.
You know, when his two sons died, Qasim and this, that. And he then accepted Islam when he could understand it.
But
yeah.
Abu Talib never accepted Islam.
No,
that is how they believe. Says the Sheikh Abu Jafar, our belief concerning them is that they were believers. From Adam down to Abdullah, his Prophet's father, peace be on him. And then Abu Talib and the Prophet's mother, Amina, with the Wahab were Muslims.
You know, wouldn't that be this this thing that you know that we are all Muslims in the sense
no,
that you believe? Are they trying to say
no.
that?
Now, what he says is, now he says here, look at this. Prophet arose from the most deprived and from the abased classes of society. July 5th, 1979. This is a question.
Just say that again.
Prophet arose
yeah.
from amongst the deprived and from the abased society, classes of society. I don't think so.
No.
Can you say that?
No. But you see, like, for example, one of the scholars, Shariati,
Ali Shariati,
right, who talks about the Abrahamic line of prophets. You know, he makes a simple point that those prophets who come from that line were people who were not, who were never ever part of the rulers. Do you see the point?
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, like the non-Abrahamic line of like prophets, right? When they talk of Buddha or Confucius and all that, these are so-called prophets who were aligned with the rulers of their time. This is the point that Shariat Ali
makes. Listen to this. We believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creator of the universe. We do not say that He, the glorious and the mighty, has always been the great creator. We do not say that He, the glorious as the mighty, has always been the great creator.
Referring to
Allah Subhanahu
wa Ta'ala.
We believe he's great and great.
Okay.
You see,
that means
you
can't say that.
Our belief concerning the tablet, law, at the fifth column, is that there are two angels.
Regarding the Quran, this is a word not of theirs, but quotation is given from their book. After quoting from Usul al-Kafi, when we see from Usul al-Kafi also regarding the Quran, the last word in Shia tradition, that is the last word in Shia tradition, there was no need to quote any other Shia authority but to remove all doubts from the minds of the readers about the hostile attitude of the Shias toward the Holy Quran. I consider it necessary to quote from the writing of a highly respected Shia alim to prove the point. The following quotation cited in Faslul Kitab fi Isbati Tahriri Kitabi Rabbil Arbab, written by Allama Hussein ibn Saqi al-Nuri Tabrizi. And you see, today, not only Shia's disbelief in the Holy Quran, but also their feelings of ill will towards it. The very title, name of the book, shows their lack of belief in the glorious Quran and their hostile attitude towards it. And it doesn't got an Arabic quotation, and the translation is this. It reads, there are plenty of traditions which elucidate the omission and deletion of some parts from the present version of the Holy Quran. These are in addition to those traditions which were mentioned during the course of my previous discussion. Moreover, this shows that the Holy Quran, that is the present version of the Holy Quran, is less in content than that which is descended upon the heart of the master of human beings and jinns as a miracle. Besides, these omissions or deletions are not limited to any particular verse or chapter, and these traditions are mentioned in different ways in several such books which are considered reliable by the ulama of the religion. I collected in this chapter all those traditions which came to my knowledge. We've got a host of traditions here now. You know, you go into it, where it proves that, you know, they say, for example, actually, we start about the reading. Let's take 1 year, you know, from Usul al-Kafi, the same one which has been widely quoted just now, right? So we'll just take this one and then I think then might be satisfied. The following quotation, to expose the attitude of the Shia to the Holy Quran and the rightly guided Sahabas, one cannot ignore quoting from Usul al-Kafi within the authority in the book, right? The following quotation, I hope, will be enough to satisfy the reader. And it's in Arabic, and Abi Basir and Abi Abdullah alayhi salam fi qawli Allah azza wa jal, wa min yutti Allah wa rasulahu fi milayati aliyin faqad faza fawzan azima, hakadha nazalat. Usul al-Kafi, babun fihi nukatun wa nasfun min at-tanzil fi al-wilaya. Usul al-Kafi by Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Yaqub was written in 329 AH. Going back over 1000 years. Note, everyone can read the Holy Quran, can easily verify that the words fi wilayati Ali did not occur in it. This is the ayat of the Holy Quran here. وَمِنْ يُسْلِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَوْلَيْكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. But in this version it is written, وَمِنْ يُسْلِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فِي مِلَايَةِ عَلِي. So فِي مِلَايَةِ عَلِي is extra. Extra.
Now you see, you are no human being has been permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change a iota of the Quran, let alone a word.
Right, now what is... And we can get to another one, you will be able to see that. No, you will never get in this one here. You see, as I mentioned to you, Captain Bach, the bone of contention is not the present Quran. It is what is it, what they believe is.
Yeah. And they can hide their beliefs.
And
the
comfortable
and so on.
It is meritorious for them to hide their beliefs. We've got another one here. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمُ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. That is the original. Now what the extra is, وَلَقَدْ عَجْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمُ قَبْلُ, the extra, كَلِمَةٌ فِي مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِي وَفَاطِمَةَ وَالْحَسَنْ وَالْحُسَيْنِ وَلِأَئِمَّةِ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ فَنَسِيَ. He mentions the Ali's name, the Fatima's name, the Hassan's name, the Hussein's name, and all the ulama from their children. And we know, as a matter of fact, never in the Quran is Hazrat Ali's name there, nor is Hazrat Fatima's name, nor Hazrat Hassan Hussein's name. If anybody's name is there, it's Hazrat Zayd رضي الله تعالى عنه. Beside him, his name, nobody else's name comes in the Holy Quran from among the Sahaba.
What is it? What's the doctor? it is not necessary to believe in this reduction in its details. Another place, as long as we believe in paradise and hell, it is not necessary for us to know if it has already been created or whether they will be created in the future, if they are in the sky or in the earth or in various different places. They regard the Jannat as like what Dr. Kareem claimed, symbolically.
Not as it is described in the Quran.
Yet what they say, they are personifications of physique, forces that work within his mind and soul.
I don't know who the doctor is, but speak Durban, so, and he's talking about who. You heard about that one?
No.
I don't know, it was a medical chap who went talking about 72 holes that you'll get, and milk and milk won't get something.
See what he says about Hazrat Bawiya radiallahu ta'ala. We say that according to Hazrat Ali, this is of Nahjul Balagha, letter number 28. The following is the famous reply of Hazrat Ali to a letter of Bawiya. It throws light on many phases of history of Islam from the time of its origin to the time of Hazrat Ali. You believe that the best of the people among the Muslims are so and so, and you have started discussing a subject, for instance, the superiority of the immigrants over the companions, which, if it is proved correct, will not be of any use to us, to you, will not enhance your status, and if it is repudiated, this repudiation will not harm you, because you are neither an immigrant nor a companion. You have gone astray from the Shaitan. He's talking about Hazrat Bawiya. Can you not think of remaining at the place where your age-long enmity of Islam and the Holy Prophet has kept you? Now, this is regarding Hazrat Bawiya. He says, you have no place in religion to talk on such matters. You all also want to taunt me by saying that when I refused to accept the caliphate of the first caliphate, I was dragged like a camel with a rope. We are faithful followers of orders of God, and you and your tribe always oppose Islam and accept it simply to save yourself from humiliation and disgrace. Our sincerity in Islam and our services to its cause are known events of history. At the same time, history cannot deny your enmity towards Islam and Holy Prophet.
Can you explain one thing, please? We believe, we regard as the most authentic books the Sahih, the Bukhari, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud. So, which do they believe these books, or they got?
They got Al-Kafi, Usul al-Kafi, and there's a commentary of it called Furu al-Kafi. After that, it's their Imam. Now, representative of Imam, who is hiding, is Imam Khomeini, whatever he says goes. And all their scholars, Alamatabatabai, and Nahjul Balagha, as I said to you, that they regard it as under the Quran.
The six books which we regard as authentic, do they regard
it? They don't regard those. Because they don't regard all the Sahabas as remaining steadfast on Islam. Because they say, besides four of the Sahabas, no one else was faithful. I'll quote you that message. Besides four Sahabas, no one else was faithful. All read away. So when they don't regard the Sahabas as criterion of right or wrong, and they don't respect the Sahabas, how can they accept them as their leaders? Now you see, for example, prostration to graves. An Imam has said, perform sajda on the grave of my grandfather, Hussein ibn Ali, P. When a person offering prayers performs sajda on that sacred earth, he pierces seven veins. This idea is to urge the people to realize the importance of the martyr and to caress the earth of his grief.
Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his last sermon said, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on those Jews and Christians who prostrate to their prophets.
kabar pujari.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, made a curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they claimed that he was doing.
Now, have you got something on the Sahaba? Yeah, see, I will read this. Yeah,
this one, eh?
See, regarding politics, suppose there all of us, we go to the extent and spread the whole of Islam's politics. And on the other hand, Allah Taba Tabai, he says something else. He says, the prophets of God were not political men. Rather, they were made of God, full of truthfulness and purity.
Khomeini says,
Islam is a political religion whereby everything, even its form of worship and its ritual prayers, have a political nature. September 18, 1979. Islam is a religion of worship and politics, in which political affairs are indispensable and intermingled with acts of worship. October 20, 1980. One of the characteristics of Imam Ali was that he was a political personality. All the messages of God, peace be upon him, were involved in politics. Islam is a political religion. You understand? And the Alama Tabatabai, their authority says that no.
It's a contradiction in his religion.
Hazrat Ali said, beware, Mawiyah is leading a small group of insurgents and has kept them in the dark about the true facts, with the result that they have made their bosoms the targets of death. Sermon number 51. Dahjul Balagha, page 39. On the other side, we have different views on him held by the vicious gang of Umayyad criminals. Mawiyah bin Abu Sufyan writes, a great historian Ibn Athir always cursed Ali Ibn Abbas Hassan Hussein in his prayers. Mawiyah, the embodiment of unbelief and hypocrisy, head of the tyrants and the rebels of history. Ali's speeches and letters have been preserved in many books and are compiled in the Dahjul Balagha. After Ali was murdered, according from one of their magazines, after Ali was murdered, Mawiyah increased his deception and bribery in order to gain power and to establish a strong kingdom after his rule. Hazrat Ali says, Sabah number 73, you have certainly known that I am the most rightful of all the others for the Khalifa.
But that is the basic question.
This is a technical point here. When the Prophet fled from Medina to Mecca, he spent 3 days in the cave of Thur with Abu Bakr. We simply believe that he did not flee, but the command was given, he went. Not fled.
Not say difference in fleeing
and obeying the command of
Allah. Obeying the
commandment
of
Allah.
Did you say here, Dahjul Balagha, a part of the same sermon about the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Holy Prophet. He treated this world disdainfully and regarded it as low. He held it contemptible and hated it. I do not think so. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hated it. Although he should not have made this dua, Rabbana Afina Min Dunya Hasanatan Wa Qina Adhaban Nar. Hazrat Ali putting these words into Hazrat Ali's mouth.
They're attributing things to Hazrat Ali that which he never said.
See, now you and I know that if you dream of the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream, then the dream cannot be false. Because the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man Ra'ani faqad Ra'ani." Whosoever sees me in the dream has verily seen me. The devil cannot take the shape of the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your dream. That's our belief. If the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes in your dream and tells us, "Do this," then we'll do it. But the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. This is why you get many saint stories of Indo-Pak, that a saint was, for example, in Mecca. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come to the dream and says, no, you don't need it in Mecca, go to India and work. And the saint moved. Right? So what he says, Sermon 69. I was sitting, Hazrat Ali,
I was sitting with sleep overtook me. I saw the Prophet of Allah appear before me. And I said, O Prophet of Allah, what crookedness and enmity I had to face from the people. The Prophet of Allah said, invoke Allah evil upon them. But I said, Allah may change them for me with better ones and change me for them with a worse one.
Contradicting what the Prophet says.
And plus, the Prophet be sent to curse
them.
And Rasulullah did not curse the people in the cave.
And yet he said, I need to curse them.
That three
and this is Daniel Malak Bible.
When the shoe got stuck in the sea.
Now, you know, Hazrat Ali, they say he's addressing his people before the battle. I shall not improve your condition by barring myself. Allah may disgrace your faces and destroy you. You do not understand the right as you understand the wrong. And do not crush the wrong as you crush the right. I don't think so. Leaders talk to people like that. Now, they talk of this is a Shiite theory, a great book. As for the fainting fit which would come upon the Prophet, it used to take place at the time of Allah addressing him, by reason whereof he would also feel a heaviness and a perspire. But this is a Orientalist attack on Islam. They say that we can start to have this fainting fit.
And yes, that used to only happen when Rasulullah was receiving the wahi. Rasulullah.
Now they say that we can start to have this fainting fit. How can you say that?
Like some scholar,
all these guys,
that he was in, you know, in moments of fit that he used to
get his
revelation.
letter number 10, a letter to Bawiya. Agar Dajjal Balaga. It is that you are unthankful to God for all that He has granted you, and you are ungrateful to Him for the favors bestowed upon you. Shaitan has taken possession of your soul. Its desire to secure you as his obedient slave is fully fulfilled. It has a firm hold on your mind. May Allah protect me and withhold me from behaving towards mankind the way that you have behaved, and from the tyranny, exploitation and murder committed by you. Take care, you are being badly driven by the lust for wealth, power and vicious indulgence. You are behaving hypocritically against man and God, and you may be damned for eternity. Are you a man enough to face death boldly and bravely, or are you merely a vampire sucking others' blood? It's all referring to Muhammad ibn Bawiya.
Regarding the Sahaba, all the Sahaba, you know, the Quran says very clearly, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is happy with them and they are happy with Allah. If they have made any mistake, Allah has forgiven them. This is our belief. The belief of the entire Sunni Ummah. If they have made any mistake,
it is a belief that is consistent with what is said in the Quran.
And this is what they are asking.
For this reason, he has made peace with Bawiya, who was a resolute enemy of religion and of Muslims, and who hated Imam Hassan and his followers. They say Hazrat Bawiya poisoned Hazrat had a hand in poisoning Hazrat Hassan. In the year 58, he was poisoned and martyred by one of his household, who has been accounted by historians and been motivated by Bawiya. They talk about Imam Hassan.
Yeah.
Leave Hazrat Bawiya for a while. Number 3 just returned. Huh? Number 5. Who? Straight there. See here. Sermon 56. Amirul Mu'mineen said to his companion about Bawiya, quoting of Dajjal Balaga. Status of Dajjal Balaga has reached him. Soon after me, there will be put on you a man with a broad mouth and a big belly. He would swallow whatever he gets and would crave for what he does not get. You should kill him, but I know you would not kill him. He would command you to abuse me and renounce me. Now, in the commentary of that, they write, in this sermon, Amir al-Mu'mineen has ordered his killing on the basis of the Prophet's order. When you, O Muslim, see Bawiya on my pulpit, kill him. how can you now attribute this thing to Ravi Ganesha Mahatma? When you see Bhavya or my perfect king, this is regarding Talha and Zubair. They are the opposite party were the unbelievers, while here the confrontation was with those who had the veils of Islam on their faces. The reason why Hazrat Ali was fighting, the quarrel took place and the war took place between Hazrat Ali and Bhavya. They, the Shias hold that Hazrat Ali fought against Kashis. Similarly, the presence of companions like Talha and Al-Zubair, who were included in the four-told tent on the side of Aisha in Basra, and the prayer signs on the foreheads of the Kharijis in Nahrawat, and the prayers and worships were creating confusion in their mind. In these circumstances, only those who would have the courage to rage against them were aware of the secrets of their heart and the reality of their faith.
So what's our attitude to Hazrat Ali?
Hazrat Ali, the Jannati.
He said, we had no problems.
We got no problem.
No, but you
see, our attitude to Hazrat Ali is...
Now there is the interpretation they give and the words they put in Islam.
No, Hazrat Ali is a false Khalif.
He's a lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We respect it and we say not one word must be said against it.
Not a word. You dare not.
They don't say anything. Look, I have to read, see this one. Again, that is Balaba. Sermon 83 about Amr ibn As. Amr ibn As Sahabi, Jaddati.
He gave on the Amr
ibn As. I am surprised at the son of Al-Nabiha that he says about me, about the people of Syria, Ash-Sham, that I am a jester and that I am engaged in frolics and fun. He said wrong and spoke sinfully. Beware, the worst speech is that which is untrue. He speaks and lies. He promises and breaks the promise. He begs and sticks. And when someone begs from him, he withholds miserly. He betrays the pledges and ignores kingship. This time the quality of Hassan. He goes on. When in a battle he commands and admonishes, but only until the swords do not come into action. When such a moment arises, his great trick is to turn naked. Then the commentator. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he refers to the incident where the conqueror of Egypt, Amr ibn As, exhibited the feat of his courage by displaying his private parts. What happened was that when in the Battle of Siffin, he and Amir al-Mu'mineen had an encounter, he rendered himself naked in order to ward off the blow of the sword. At this, Amir al-Mu'mineen turned his face away and spared him his life. Then they carry on. And they say these things. Which is okay. That's a balama. Very cute. That's a balama.
Yes,
Talha.
Let me say one thing. Do you need more convincing?
Talha,
no convincing. Mohammed, we still haven't gone to the point. As you see, my problem is that what has happened in this country, you see, we have got ourselves involved in minority. You see, how many Shiites are there? You know, 150 million. You know, there are 100,000 million Muslims. They constitute a small portion of the Ummah, if you consider it. Now, we can't get involved with this thing. There are far greater things in this life, especially in South Africa, to be done. You know, the problems of, you know, which we face, of drugs, of, you know, dispossession, of people's movement. And you see, our ulemas are getting stuck into things which are not so important. You know, I mean, if you don't, you see, if you don't bring up the problem, nobody will even know about the Shiite. You understand? Okay. It's like the Qadiani thing. There are 25 families, we've got, you know, we've got fellows from all over the country. It's a, you know, they would have been forgotten. Now, you see, there are things called priorities. And we must get our priorities right. You know, our priority in this country, you know, it's a country where we must show that the Muslim is the finest person. And you know how we're going to show this? You know, not by going for 4 months to, you know, Brazil or so. It's to show by our actions and our deeds that Islam and the followers of Islam are the, should act as, you know, guides for the, you know, the people in this country. I mean, we've got a task in this country.
That's
now, you know, to get involved, you see, there was a fellow called Roof. He wrote on politics, you know. He mentioned about a group of political fellows, you know. He said that they would get involved in little things and they would die away. Now, this is what's going to happen to us. You see, whether right foot first and left foot first and a masat knot and kurta and that, we mustn't. Yeah, you know, we forget to tell them about the, you know, faraz namaz and things like that. Now, this is our contention, that there are urgent and pressing problems in this country, and we are now divorcing ourselves and getting there. Where's our ulema and those who should lead us should play a role in leading the ummah. You know, when I went to the jamiat, you know, before I got arrested, and I told them that, look here, you must tell us, man, where you stand on the. They says, no, look here, we still study. You know, 2 months to go, the constitution had out for a year, we stood studying, we're going to look at opinions. You know, you've got all the bloody fellows who are now, you know, advocating prostitutions and drinking and gambling, you know, who they put into parliament. They consulted them, you know, and what happened? You know, nothing. You know, they couldn't. They said, you ask us and we'll give you a fatwa. I said, you don't have to give a fatwa about haram khori and, you know, zina and all sorts of things. You tell it's wrong. We must tell the Muslim Ummah what's right and what's wrong. But this is what we're looking for, some direction. And you see, I believe that what's happening now is that we're going to get bogged down, you know, on the Maulud thing and this and that, and, you know, forget our role.
Can I hear something? See,
how many, you know, Kasim and myself, how many of people are known about this yet? Just because we went there, you know, and we became interested.
You'll be surprised how much Shia and Christian is being cultivated in South Africa with an enormous amount of funds, right? And it's unbelievable because they've got the funds.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
Yeah, no. Look at the literature I've brought, and, you know, they come out with one little poster, I think, called Muslim News or something.
Muslim media,
yes.
That's a weekly thing.
Yeah, it doesn't come out every week.
There is a magazine which was originally distributed from Hong Kong. Now it's no longer coming from Hong Kong. It's coming from the Switzerland. The embassy from here.
Yeah, what is the name?
The Hong Kong magazine.
Yeah.
It's called Hong Kong. It's something the Japanese, and also